Drive into summer savings at Burr Brothers Tire and Service with unbeatable discounts on all major tire brands like Goodyear, Bridgestone, Firestone, Pirelli, and more. Visit any Burr Brothers today because these summer tire deals are hot and won't last long. Burr Brothers Tire and Service. Complete auto care done better.
A presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio.
Good to have you on board, Cougar Nation. Mitch is back from Disneyland. I was here all along. And the Cougs are back with a W against the Texas Longhorns. We're taking your calls all hour long. 801-575-8255. We want your reaction to that win against Texas and also the controversy from the game. Students wearing horns down T-shirts. Was that classless by the BYU fans in the Rock? We want you to chime in on all those things. Good to have you back, Mitch.
It is good to be back, and it's good to actually feel like we are officially Big 12 radio host and reporters because we're now dealing with a horns-down drama. We're truly entrenched in the Big 12 now, but BYU, of course, is entrenched in this Big 12 race. 84-72, they take down the Texas Longhorns, and let's get into our takeaways.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Get those phone lines loaded up, 801-575-8255. We will get to your takeaways because, of course, every Monday night, Cougar Nation, it's your show, Cougar Nation. So get those phone lines loaded up, and we'll get to some of your takeaways on this and also your thoughts on his horns down classes. But our takeaways, takeaway number one, BYU won a ball game, Matt, without firing off 30-plus threes. And that might sound normal for most college basketball teams, but for BYU, that's definitely a different look.
Only 17 threes taken. They make 41% of those. But the big storyline of the game was points in the paint, where they outscore Texas by 14. They out-rebound the Longhorns by 8. When this team, Mitch, is committed to the glass, they can beat about anybody in college basketball. I believe that. In losses against Houston and Baylor and even Utah, it hasn't always been pretty on the glass, but that was an emphasis for this Cougar team. And I'll tell you what, one of my takeaways, which ties into all this, having Fusene Traore back, playing like himself. Remember, he suffered that injury down in Vegas in November. He's only been back for a couple weeks, and he just hasn't looked himself. But in this Texas game, you saw a real physical presence from Fusene, the big dog. He had 6 rebounds, 16 points. Here's what Coach Pope had to say about the big fella inside.
I thought he had a huge impact on the game. I thought he was really good. Came up with a huge block on ace miss, kind of in that stretch where we're just trying to make sure things were secure, and was certainly a force inside.
That stretch where he had the block, and then Richie hits the three. The Marriott Center was electric. But the key to this team, Mitch, is, hey, we know you're a good three-point shooting team. You got to do other things, and they showed us that against Texas.
It was, I thought, an impressive performance from BYU to take down a Texas team that had their full collection of personnel. You know, Texas has dealt with a lot of injuries this season, like BYU, but they brought all those guys together, and they were on a two-game winning streak, and they came in and were not fazed by the Marriott Center sold-out crowd. They jumped on BYU quick, but BYU was resilient, and the fact that they attacked the basket, it was refreshing to see. And it, to me, it opened my eyes that, you know, maybe this BYU team can have a little bit of inside and out. And I think that ties into takeaway number two, that Fusene at low post was a huge difference, because now it's pick your poison when you defend BYU. Okay, you want to defend that three-point line? Great. Well, now there's a legit post threat in Fusene being back and fully healthy.
The final takeaway for us, amongst many, then we'll get to your calls, is BYU a strong second half? That's been a weak point for the Cougars in Big 12 conference play. They've led at the half in every game but one, and that was the Houston game. And they had a chance to be leading at the half, and then it kind of slipped away there in the final moments. So a strong second half was critical, and Coach Pope agreed.
The most important stat for us as a team is the 41 points in the first half and the 31 in the second half. We've been a plus double-figure team in conference, giving up more points in the second half. And I was really proud of these guys because every single media timeout in the second half, that's all they wanted to talk about was what they were going to do on the defensive end, that they were going to win this game on the defensive end of the floor. I thought they made an unbelievable effort to do it. And that's going to be really important for us moving forward to see if we can replicate that. And it's coming from the guys, which is pretty powerful.
Through the first 20 games of the season, BYU's now 15-5 overall, 3-4 in Big 12 play. I just felt like that was a big win to take down Texas, Matt, because not only is it the brand of Texas, I get that, first time you're hosting them in Provo in 50 years, it's the only Big 12 regular season matchup between the two programs, but it was just big because the next two are on the road, and it just felt like you got to get this one to end your losing streak, because if you would have lost that one, it could have been a little bit of a tailspin where it suddenly becomes a five-game skid, and you're wondering, oh, is BYU going to fall out of bracketology? That was a big win, and to do it decisively, it just shows this BYU team is very good, Matt, and I think people need to recognize that this is a team that belongs in this Big 12. They look the part of a Big 12 team. They belong.
And although Texas wasn't ranked, they had just come off wins against Baylor and Oklahoma, so they were playing some of their best basketball. Let's get out to the phone line, Mitch. We love having Linda on. Linda, what's your reaction to the win over Texas?
Oh, it was wonderful. I'm really glad we finally won again. It was so good to win again. And I thought it was so neat that Noah scored all those points, 17 points. I thought it was wonderful. And I thought that all the other players were wonderful too, like Felipe and Robinson and all those guys.
Great.
So I was really happy with it.
Yeah, no doubt, Linda. Linda's been on the Noah Waterman train for weeks now, and he played great, Mitch.
He did. 17 points. It feels like when Noah Waterman plays well, BYU is almost unbeatable. In the last three games that Noah has played, he scored at least 17 points in each of those games. You know, there was those moments against Utah, against Cincinnati, where he's putting up 0 points, and you're like, is it just he's good against the Denvers of the world, against the Bellarmines of the world? When is it going to happen against Big 12 competition? Well, he's doing it now, and I think that confidence is growing. I feel like this entire BYU team, the confidence of this group continues to show. They've been a resilient bunch. I mean, there's been a lot of personnel in and out, yet they continue to get off the mat and continue to respond. And in no game have they been dominated. You know, there's been some times where, you know, Iowa State's the trendy pick in college basketball this week after their big win over Kansas. BYU crushed that team. BYU hasn't experienced a game like that where they just get crushed, and I think that's a testament to how resilient this group is. Let's get it back out to the phones. Todd from West Valley. Todd, you want to weigh in on the horns down?
Yeah, I think it's kind of amazing that they're going to go to the SEC. If that's just, I mean, BYU, they're the students. That's what students do. Horns down. They've never seen the Holy War rivalry in some of the shirts you see around there. I think the way the rest of the season should go when the mighty Texas Longhorns go to play somewhere is that the facility on their away games needs to turn the air conditioner on the lowest setting in the visitors' locker room so that the snowflakes don't melt when they see horns down.
Thanks for the call, Todd. I'm with you. I mean, I was surprised that it was even a thing for BYU to take down those shirts from the students. We'll get to that here momentarily. Again, if you missed the story, BYU students in the front row of the student section in the Rock, they spelled out horns down on their T-shirts.
Front row, closest to the Texas bench.
And BYU officials, by the first media timeout, asked those students to remove those shirts. It's become kind of a national story and around college basketball, and you wonder, why is it a story? Like, why is horns down so scandalous? Let's get to that and more of your phone calls. Was horns down classless? Let's discuss it. 801-575-8255. It's Cougar Nation here on the legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in to Cougar Nation, your weekly check-in on BYU basketball. Every Monday night, we're taking your phone calls, talking BYU hoops, Big 12, and getting you the voice of the nation, Cougar Nation, here on this program. And if you miss any part of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast on kslsports.com. So, Matt, this horns down drama. Again, the BYU students, they spelled out horns down on white T-shirts with blue paint. I'll admit, in the pregame, Matt, down at the court, I go down and just to kind of size up the personnel, make sure everyone's accounted for. It's like it's roll call for me. Just see, okay, this player's here, this player, you know, going through that. And I see those horns down shirts, and I thought, that's funny. And then just went about my way. I didn't think to take a photo of it, do anything with it. It was just like, that's funny. Like, you know, horns down. Like, that's just so – it's the equivalent to me of BY who? Like, that's what it means to me. Like, everyone does it. And so I just went about my way. And then I see in the first media timeout a few students changing out to – Brigham Young shirts that say the number 24. They gave them out in the preseason for the student section. And I'm thinking, oh, they're no longer wearing those shirts. They were asked to remove them. What do you think, make of all this?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. And I think it's important to remember the context of how this all began, which was back when UCF played Texas. UCF upset them. And in that postgame handshake line, some UCF players are doing the horns down symbol. That made Coach Terry mad of the Longhorns. We went on the rant, and here we are, several weeks into the horns down saga. I actually felt like he had a legitimate point back then, which was, this is the postgame handshake line. Let's have a little class, because he called it classless. And I feel like that was more so not being sportsmanlike postgame.
Sure.
And not necessarily towards fans who, look, fans, I believe, have a right to make life difficult on the opponents as long as within reason. And horns down, it's not a derogatory term. There's no explicit symbol by having your pointer finger and your pinky finger down. It's just it's just a gesture booing the opponent. And so I thought it was completely over the line for BYU administration to step in and make them show that, because it wasn't an offensive act. It just... I can't figure it out. There's a lot of universities that have a hand symbol associated with their team. Lots. There's one here in the state, for heaven's sakes. TCU's got the frog. You got the U. Like, there's a lot of these symbols. And if an opponent does the opposite of that symbol, to me, that's just a part of the game. That's not being disrespectful in a derogatory sense.
BYU told the student newspaper down at BYU that their officials, BYU administration, asked the students to take it down as a display of good sportsmanship. And look, BYU, I get it. BYU always has more to lose when it comes to the sportsmanship angle because
of the religious element.
Right, because we've seen it so many times. BYU gets bagged on many times because of who they're owned and operated by, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yep.
And people will, whenever BYU does something maybe aggressive, or think about, like, you know, the football gif, that punch that happened, like, that gets brought up all the time. That's not very church-like of you. So BYU always has more to lose when you're not the, you know, sportsman-like, and you're not just following in line and following every rule possible. So I get that. But just horns down to me is just kind of fun, and it's your only time
and
you're
funny.
Ever going to play Texas, too. That's the thing. If it was you're going to play Texas every single year, maybe, but even then I'm like, you want to create some intensity. This is a conference game. This is a game that matters. This is the Big 12, the best basketball league in America. The fact that BYU asked the students to just take down the shirts or remove them made it a story. And it led to, in the post game, very kind of unexpected, because no one in the media asked Mark Pope about the shirts. Before Mark Pope left the press conference, he spoke about horns down.
Just know they were taken off before the game started, right? And from The Rock and from our players and from our student body, that's just not us. That's not how we roll. And it was just a miscalculation on just a couple eager kids, which we love the eagerness of these fans, but it's not what we do here.
I didn't see that. I didn't think it was that big of a deal.
No.
And BYU's been on the receiving end of some things that I did think were a big deal. We were there in Oregon.
Yes.
During the chant. You know, that was a nasty four-letter word.
Yes.
Towards a religious term. Yes. That is offensive. That's derogatory. That's something to get worked up about.
Yeah, I saw a Stanford
right.
band basically kind of mock the moral institution of the church.
That stuff is offensive. Yeah. Horns down is... honestly, it's only a thing because Coach Terry brought it up against UCF.
But the Big 12, has kind of made it a thing, though. In 2019, in football, if you did horns down, it was going to be result in an unsportsmanlike penalty. So the Big 12 themselves has kind of set the standard of that is like taboo. Don't mess with horns down. It's kind of a weird phenomenon, honestly, how polarizing of a topic it really is.
So I live on an interesting street down in Utah County. My neighbor is a Texas fan. He got his master's degree at UT Austin. Across the street from him is an Oklahoma fan who grew up in Oklahoma. Like, these are legitimate Red River rivalry neighbors.
Your street is Red River Drive.
I got Red River Drive down there. So here's what my Texas neighbor had to say about the situation. BYU admins are soft. Got to let the students wear horns down in their shirts. Oklahoma would have let them do it. It's not offensive. We're used to it.
Yeah, like I think any Texas fan would enjoy the banter.
And this is also why it's so easy to hate on Texas.
Yes.
Because, and look, Texas did not make this a story. Let's make that clear.
Yeah, they were complimentary.
This is not Rodney Terry. After the first thing he said post-game was, what an amazing environment. Fans were great, and they were. Fans were outstanding against Texas and against Houston. BYU made this a story, but if Rodney Terry had never brought this up after the UCF game, it's probably not even a thing. And this is where it's easy to pile on Texas at times because it feels like, come on, guys, you're so next level with so many things. It's okay to flash horns down. It's not, if anything, it's sort of like a sign of respect that when we feel like we beat you or we play you, that we got to take it to another level to make sure that our presence is felt against you.
That's why Texas is such a big brand. It doesn't matter how little of history you have, as BYU basketball has really no history with Texas, yet they roll into Provo and instantly there's an angle of banter known by the students. Like they carry a massive brand, and that will be lost in the Big 12 because no one carries the weight nationally like Texas does. But in their own way, it's been a reason why they've caused a lot of problems for conferences over the years. And Texas has been kind of a thorn in many people's sides. But there's no denying the brand, the prestige of Texas sports carries a big weight in college athletics. But you kind of wonder, too, Matt, if BYU's administration acting this way is almost like a
Let's call it what it is, Mitch. It's a byproduct of the Duke situation.
Right, that's what I was going to get to, is that, you know, the Duke situation in 2022, where the alleged racial slur happened at a women's volleyball game, Duke player alleged that, and you just wonder if BYU was like, we just don't want to risk it. Because who knows, if the game goes into the second half, does that bother Texas? Again, Texas was very complimentary about everything, what BYU was as far as atmosphere, but they maybe just wanted to get rid of the possibility by having horns down, taken down. I don't know. Like, it's like BYU, I think, let the students have some fun. College students should have fun in these student sections. I remember many years ago, there was like a BYU basketball player who transferred from Utah to BYU, was in the Steve Cleveland era, and he was just getting all these taunts at him in pregame at the Huntsman Center. I mean, but that's just what college basketball has always been. Like, student sections. Like, remember when Utah State would have a printed out sheet of taunts and like personal info on each player that would go into great details about how to attack players? And that's where you cross the line and say, hey, don't do that. Don't make it personal.
Right.
Don't make it about the families. Don't make it about religion. Don't make it about race. But this is just a hand gesture. This is like, again, what
they
I feel like.
They didn't even do the hand gesture. I mean, students did do the hand gesture.
It was
record
on the big screen quite a bit.
It was literally the letters horns down.
I compare it honestly to when people say BY who.
Yeah.
You know, I always see that
How
sign.
Dare you?
BY who?
That's seriously offensive, Mitch. I cannot believe you would even throw that out there. It's also a little bit of the byproduct of the society we live in now where it just feels way more sensitive. Humor and comedy is not. You can barely even utter jokes anymore without offending someone. So I don't like to live in that world personally. I like to have a little bit of fun, and to me, horns down felt like good, clean fun at the expense of Texas.
I got to imagine Mark Pope, when it was brought to his attention, he was confused. He's like, what are we talking about? Like, why do I have to issue a statement on this? I guess. I mean,
hopefully down the road, when BYU's been in the Big 12 longer, there's a little more leeway to have fun at something that was a current event, horns down.
801-575-8255. You can weigh in. Is horns down classless? You can also share your takes.
I want to hear a Texas fan call in and make the case for why it is. I want to be informed because I'm not understanding. So if there's a Longhorn fan out there listening, call in 801-575-8255 and help us understand why this is offensive. I need to know.
It's Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. He's Matt Biamonte. I'm Mitch Harper. News, traffic, and weather next, and we'll get to what's trending up and trending down with BYU Hoops.
Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation rolls on. We're breaking down BYU and Texas, the big win for the Cougs, 84-72. We're trying to figure out the horns down controversy as well. You can chime in, 801-575-8255. Love to get your thoughts on the win. And looking ahead to the next two road games at West Virginia on Saturday. That'll be right after Cougar Sports Saturday. So noon to 3, we'll be here with you. And not only will we be talking a lot of hoops, we'll be breaking down a new Big 12 football schedule being released tomorrow. So looking forward to that, Mitch. And we'll be doing that on Saturday like we do every single Saturday. Also, I have to throw this out there. I'm going to wake up early and get to the Apple Store on Saturday to try out that Apple Vision Pro headset. I'm looking forward to that. That's a side tangent, though.
Yes, that would be pretty cool. I was actually having that conversation with my brother-in-law last night, and I was like, how cool would that be? And my argument, too, I would love to just, show up to a BYU basketball game up there and just wear that the whole game.
You're just typing.
I'm just pinch texting,
That'd be amazing.
Fellow media members are like, what is this guy doing?
I might need to buy it just for that because you could have the – the court in front of you and all these windows off to the side. You're just pinching here.
I would love it. Like in terms of multitasking, it would be absolutely incredible. But $3,500, I might have to wait on that. I'm going to have to shelve that a bit. But anyway, we got to get to what's trending up and trending down with BYU Hoops.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
We do this every single week on Cougar Nation. Some things are on the up and up. Other things are slipping a bit. Let's start on a positive note, and I'll start things off, Mitch. I thought a big turning point earlier in the week for me was Dallin Hall putting pressure on the rim, and he did that against Houston. He had a great transition throwdown against the Cougars earlier in the week, and there were other games, especially in losses, where I just felt like when he would drive in, the Baylor game comes to mind, where he would drive, even Texas Tech, you're driving in and there's not an emphasis to actually score. You're just driving in to kick it out. They recognize that. It turns into a turnover. The other way, it turns into a three, back-breaking threes. And you're like, Dallin, you have to go to the rim with the intent to score. And I thought he did a great job against Houston and in the win against Texas of getting downhill, putting pressure on the rim, drew a couple and ones, finished those as well. So I like Dallin Hall. I think he's trending up. Even though he wasn't a double-digit scorer, his play in Big 12 has been better statistically than it was in non-conference play. He's trending up, and I like that he's attacking the basket.
Started slow in Big 12 play, but I feel like he's playing pretty well right now. I mean, plus 16 and plus minus a team high in the win over Texas on Saturday, 84-72. For me, trending up, just BYU's ability to reinvent itself. You know, this is now becoming where there's so much intel, there's so much data on these teams. The scouting reports are going to be so detailed on how to attack BYU. It's pretty clear on what you got to do. So what's BYU's next gear? What's their next move? And credit to BYU's coaching staff, Cody Feger offensively, Cahill Fennell on the defensive side. of their ability to adjust and adapt and to still kind of have new looks that can keep these teams on their heels. I think coming up on Saturday against West Virginia, you got to do that again. I mean, I would like to get to a point, Matt, where you see, and Mark Pope has talked about it a ton since October at Big 12 Media Day in Kansas City, he wants Ali Khalifa and Foose on the floor at the same time. Now with those two guys looking and feeling healthy, do they go to, you know, a full week of prep for West Virginia? Do they throw in a new wrinkle to kind of catch West Virginia off guard? That's what sometimes this league is about. BYU doesn't have the personnel that can just show up and do what they do and just impose their will because they just don't have the athleticism and size to overpower teams in this league. So you got to have the great schemes. You got to have the great scouting reports and coaches. And look, BYU's got talent. But I just like their ability to adjust and kind of reinvent themselves.
And Coach Terry of the Texas Longhorns was complimentary of just that after the loss against BYU.
Really challenged us from a defensive standpoint in terms of how they play. I thought we did a really good job neutralizing their made threes. They did a great job attacking the paint. You know, we needed to try to put together some consecutive stops, and we weren't able to do that today.
No, they weren't able to do that because of what you just said, Mitch. BYU's ability to just find different ways. And what I love, too, is they still got out in transition. Even though they were focused on the paint, it didn't feel like they slowed the game down. It was still up-tempo. There was just a bigger emphasis down low.
And how impressive, too, was it? 64% shooting from the field. I mean, you do that in any game, BYU's going to win. I don't care if it's Kansas, Houston. You should put that percentage up. BYU will win in any game in this league. And the fact that BYU's been so competitive and down to the wire against pretty much everyone in this conference, when you have a good shooting night like BYU did on Saturday, it bodes well for the Cougars.
Trending down for me is BYU's backup point guard situation. Another game, Mitch, where Trey Stewart doesn't play. And I got to say, on the point of Trey Stewart, that doesn't bother me. Last time we saw him against Cincinnati, he was not good. He played 4 minutes. He had four turnovers. I think he lost a lot of trust in that game on his ability to take care of the basketball. That's what you have to do as the point guard. Look, Trey has been up and down shooting the ball. That's fine. You can be up and down shooting the ball. What you can't do as a backup point guard is come in and promptly turn it over four times in 4 minutes. So they've been looking for answers. They were hoping it was going to be Dawson Baker, but he got shut down for the year because of the foot injury. And that was Dawson Baker, too. That injury, if something gets in the way of BYU having a special season, I'm going to come back and point to that injury. Because Dawson Baker has everything in a package that BYU sorely needs. Another option is a ball handler, a creator off the dribble. Like, those are things that BYU still needs that Baker would have provided, but he's done for the year. Jackson Robinson has been getting some run at backup point guard, and he was okay against Texas. He wasn't great against Houston. I thought Robinson had a nice bounce-back game, don't get me wrong. 17 points, 8 of 11 from the field, played good defense, was getting to the rim. But Jackson Robinson is at his best when he is naturally beside a point guard in Dallin Hall.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, that point guard situation, Dawson Baker, his absence looms large, I do believe, for this team, even though – you know, he hasn't, you know, he only had a few cameos, I guess you could say, for this season. He's a heck of a player, but he's still got, you know, potentially two more years remaining in his college career if he gets that NCAA medical waiver after this season. For me, I'm going to go just slightly, and it's not a personal attack or anything, but he's just coming back from the injury. Trevin Nell is kind of a new role coming off the bench after that foot injury that caused him to miss the Iowa State game. It hasn't been as on fire from three as he was prior to the foot injury.
A three against Texas.
And he didn't. And it's just, again, it might be a case of just kind of filling out your new role. There's clearly a different dynamic when you're coming off the bench than being in the starting five. Because that you might have different personnel that you're not used to playing the same lineup. I mean, Trevin Nell was just on a roll. He was the best three-point shooter in the league after the first four games or so, and then that foot injury kind of set him back, and hopefully he kind of gets out of this rut that he's in. And the nice thing for BYU is that whether it's Nell, Jackson Robinson, Noah Waterman, there's so many guys on this team. Foose, I could go on and on, Ali Khalifa, Dallin Hall, all these guys on any given night could be the number one guy. But you do wonder, if you do get to a game when it's close and you're on the road and you got to find a way to break through and get that critical road win in this league, Like, who's going to be that guy that just, you know, kind of puts it on the deck and goes and gets a bucket? Is it Jackson Robinson? I don't know yet. I just feel like that's something that I still don't quite know with this team, because I feel like you've got to get to at least 8 wins in this conference to guarantee and feel comfortable that you're going to be in the NCAA tournament.
I feel like the answer to that right now for me is Foose. I feel like
okay.
Foose, one aspect of his game that he has really improved on this year, Mitch, is kicking it out when a double comes, or even if there's just a wide-open shooter. His pass, I believe it was Foose who kicked it back out to Trevin when he missed the three that would have given the lead against Houston earlier in the week, and then that ended up not going as close as it looked because of free throws at the end. I just think he's such a problem physically down low, and if he's going to show that IQ to make the right play, then I might be okay just jumping it down to him, and if he gets a good look, it's a high percentage shot. If not, he'll make the right play and kick it out.
Let's take more of your phone calls, 801-575-8255. You can weigh in on Horns Down. You can weigh in on the rest of this schedule. First month of Big 12 play is in the books for BYU as they turn the page to February. We'll get an early look on West Virginia coming up next here on Cougar Nation. It's powered by KSL Sports.
Sure, you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
One more segment, Cougar Nation. One more chance for you, BYU fans, to chime in on the win against the Longhorns, 801-575-8255. I'm curious, Mitch, and also from Cougar Nation, any concerns as you go out on the road against West Virginia and Oklahoma? It was a nice bounce-back win. One thing that's made me encouraged, even though their conference record is not a winning one currently, they have not been blown out in any conference game. All four of their losses, they had opportunities to win those games, and it was late-game collapses that cost them those opportunities. But do you have any concerns moving forward as the schedule from a strength of schedule perspective does lighten up? A lot more quad two games, not as many quad one games. But any concerns, Mitch?
Maybe the concern I have is, does BYU maybe have another gear to them? Is what they showed against Texas the best they can be in this league? I just wonder if they can continue to deliver at that level and maybe even at a greater consistency, because in this road games in this league are just so hard to win. You know, BYU's going to go to West Virginia, who right now probably the worst team in the league.
Oklahoma State, right?
But Oklahoma State did beat West Virginia.
True.
But, you know, record-wise, Oklahoma State's the worst. West Virginia, though, has got one of the most talented rosters in terms of transfer portal additions. It's just been an inconsistent year from personnel, and they beat Kansas in Morgantown. Like, this is going to be one of those games that, for BYU, it could be very risky because it's quad three, and I don't think West Virginia is going to be anything more than a 13-14 win team this year. This could be a real anchor on your resume. Like, you're not going to take you off the bracket like the days of the WCC, but still, it could be one of those ones where you lost to West Virginia. That's going to be worth a seed line where you go to the seven, and then suddenly it's getting a little more risky to where you're in that first four. Again, long way to go, and the Big 12 gives you so many opportunities, but this is a critical game. They're all big in the Big 12, but I just wonder if BYU can deliver every single night the efficiency that they showed against Texas, because you got to have a few of those on the road in this league if you're going to pull off some road wins. I mean, the way that they played against UCF in their lone road victory thus far, that was a poor offensive performance. They were very fortunate UCF could not knock down anything from the free throw line or from three. And so BYU's got to be able to shoot the ball at a high clip on the road at some point. They did in the first half against Texas Tech. West Virginia is going to be a big game because they've got talent. I've been, you know, watching that team from afar, and they just haven't had their full collection of guys. This might be the healthiest they've been all season, and also the biggest collection of talent at the same time because of all the waivers that they've received.
They've lost two in a row. They are 7-5 at home. They're one of two teams, them and Oklahoma State, with a overall losing record. Everyone else, double-digit wins, with winning records in the Big 12.
And it'll be interesting to see, too, and we'll find out more later in the week, but BYU is going to travel out to Morgantown on Friday. They did the 2 days before for Orlando to UCF. I'm curious to see if they just kind of hover and go to Oklahoma right after, because then they'll have a quick turnaround to Oklahoma the following Tuesday. It'll be interesting to see kind of their approach to that, because what makes West Virginia so difficult from a road game perspective is that it's on the farthest eastern wing of the league. It's a hard place to get to. It's not like Orlando. Morgantown is difficult to get to. There's a lot of travel times. Now, BYU's going to have charter flight and whatnot, but still, it is a long flight, and you just got to hope that BYU comes prepared and is ready, and because that's going to be a tough out. If you can just find a way to get the win, that's all that matters. This league, Matt, I've just been so impressed by how the coaching staffs, the talent, it's just been a fun league. But I will say, I don't think there is a team right now that I say, outside of maybe Houston, that I look at and say, that's a Final Four team. And I think it's just a bunch of teams that they could get hot and go to the Sweet 16, but I don't know if I look at many of them as national title contenders, but this is just a heck of a league, and the competition has been so much fun every single night.
I feel like whether it's this game or Oklahoma State, you'd hope later on, I feel like BYU needs to get two more road games, Mitch. If they can get two more road games, that would give them five conference wins. I'd like to think they can at least get two more home wins. And if you get to seven, you're squarely in the NCAA tournament. You'd love it to be these games that are against teams lower in the standings, because there's still road games against Oklahoma, which that's coming up quick. That will not be easy, though they have lost games at home. Road game at Kansas, at Kansas State. Kansas State is not nearly as good as they were last year, but that's still a difficult place to play. It's just, to me, if you can get the West Virginia win, I feel like you're going to get Oklahoma State, and you get them twice, which is nice. But those are the games that I feel like will determine if BYU can hang on to the – right now, they're projected as a 5 seed. Think about that. A 5 seed in Salt Lake City.
By most bracketologists, that's the forecast, yes.
That would be unbelievable to be in Salt Lake for the opening rounds as a 5 seed.
And I've said it, and I'll say it again. You get BYU in the Delta Center, they're getting the Sweet 16. Yep. I'm telling you, Cougar Nation will will them to the Sweet 16, man.
Yeah, but I think you're right. You have to take care of – there's three teams that I think you have to beat. You have to win this game against West Virginia. Yep. You've got to win the home game against UCF. And you got to get both against Oklahoma State. If you get those four, you're at 7 wins. I think they'll probably get at least 2 more after that, I would think. And then there's your 5 seed in Salt Lake City.
And then you go to the Big 12 tournament, and there's more opportunities to improve the seed line. Isn't that what's great about the Big 12 is that you just get so many opportunities to just improve your resume. And losses, losing record in league, you're still a 5 seed. It's just the great thing about BYU's situation, but this team's got to continue to get better. They got to rein in on the turnovers. I think that's an area that I came away a little bit, not concerned, but just something to monitor out of that Texas game. They had 16 turnovers in that game against the Longhorns, and there was that moment where Texas cut it down to 9, and you felt like this could get a little tight down the stretch, and then Foos hit that critical baseline shot to put it back up to 11, and then they pulled away after that, but turnovers are something to monitor with this BYU team going forward. They got to take care of the basketball, and which was something that is weird to say because in the non-conference they were so good at taking care of the basketball, but they got to rein that in a bit.
Well, they got the point guard. They got the point guard issues, because when teams go full court press, you're asking Spencer Johnson, Jackson Robinson to break down the press. That's just not their strength. Are they capable of doing it? Yes.
They've done a little bit better this year, because I remember last year against Creighton, it was a mess. But now they've gotten better, but still a long way to go.
It's the only guy you truly feel comfortable with in that situation is Dallin Hall. And so at the end of the day, if BYU can continue to do what we saw in the Texas game, pound the paint, it's going to be a lot harder, I think, to press. Because in the press, you would just extend your defense full court, and then you would – no, we don't really have to guard the paint because they're not going to kill us down here. So it's not really a end-to-end defensive situation. But now that Foos is back and making a presence inside, I think it takes a little pressure off that. But They've got to be tight when the pressure comes.
BYU right now in my Big 12 basketball power rankings, I got them at 7. Too high, too low? What do you think?
I think that's about right. They need to win some of these close games for you to feel like they're going to break through. Because do you feel like they're going to go on the road and beat Kansas State and Kansas right now? From what we've seen, probably not. I think we all feel like this team behind this fan base is dang good at home. They're going to win a lot of games at home. But on the road, you haven't seen them break through yet. We need that breakthrough to come.
How crazy, too, is it? And I know that this game against the Jayhawks is at the end of February, but Kansas is 4-3. The worst start in Big 12 play, 7-game start, in Bill Self's time at KU. He's in his 21st year at Kansas.
Wow.
So Kansas is off to a very unusual start by their standards.
They're not deep, like you said.
It's another day in the Big 12, another week in the Big 12, and Cougar Nation will be back next Monday. We'll talk to you then here on KSL News Radio.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.